أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. As we do at the beginning of every session, let's recite inshallah Surah Al-Fatiha silently from the depth of your heart, with the intention that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala places His light and His knowledge into your heart directly, inshallah. Alright, alhamdulillah, wasalna episode 13, and last week we finished Surah Al-Alaq. There were a few points that I wanted to kind of also touch on مع ختام Surah Al-Alaq before we can proceed, inshallah. فتذكرون, it ends with كلا لا تطعه واسجد واقترب. But one lesson here was in that Allah's teaching us whenever someone's there trying to distract you, trying to resist your message, trying to stop you from doing good, the Quranic teaching is what? To confront or to turn away? To turn away. لا تطعه. And not just turn away from him. Turn away from him and turn towards who? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay? What we're also learning here is in that when you turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah will comfort you. Especially in his situation, he was going through so many difficulties, so much resistance. And we'll see that as we proceed with seerah. But he will be facing a lot of obstacles. A lot of people will try to stop him, ridicule him, make fun of him, bully him. His only escape was to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it's similar to the theme of Ashab al-Kahf. If you recite Surah al-Kahf every Friday, similar thing. They were living in a disbelieving society, and then what did they do? They turned to Allah in the cave. Why the cave? Because it was a private, non-distracted environment for them. So what are we learning from for ourselves, Hatta? What's the lesson here?
To turn away from people that are trying to direct us in the wrong way.
Exactly.
And to always go for Allah.
Exactly. Turn to Allah. And here it's very important for us to realize in that يعني وسجد واقترب, one of its meanings is Allah's teaching us the objective. يعني if I was to ask all of you, what is your objective in life? شنو رسالتكم في الحياة؟ شنو هدفكم في الحياة؟ طبعا وما خلقت الجن والإنس إلا ليعبدون. فالعبادة هي الغاية العظمى. ولكن on a practical level, on a day-to-day level, if you had a target on a day-to-day, the closest or the most simplest way to understand what our objective is on a day-to-day basis is to get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala every day. يعني كل واحد فينا يذكر نفسه بهاي الآية and I want to get closer to Allah today than I was yesterday. And is there any end to this closeness?
No.
There's no end. There's literally no end. But is there a beauty in this objective? There is, right? Because you're getting closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. كأن يعني Allah is telling you, I'm not far away. And when we take one step towards Allah, Allah takes 10 steps towards us. And we live in a system B world, right? We talked about system B and system A. System B is the distractive world out there. It wants to take you away from Allah. It wants to take you farther away from Allah. And so Allah's telling the Prophet ﷺ and telling us through this ayah, come near to me. that's where you'll find peace. That's where you'll be able to deal with all your difficulties and challenges in life. Then a life will become very challenging, very difficult. Life is already for many of us, most of us probably, if not all of us. صح ولا لا? And so, this is free therapy من Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You don't need to go and pay anyone, you don't need to take any pills. Just wasjud waqtarib. That's the formula. Wasjud waqtarib. And another lesson here is that we live in times where sometimes we innovate new technologies of getting close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As we're learning from this ayah, is the only way to get close to Allah is through sujood. You can try other methodologies, other types of meditations. I've tried many of them. You can do mantras, you can do all sorts of practices, spiritual practices. Nothing will get you closer to Allah except sujood. And here we're, of course, sujood happens in salah also, right? So salah, the ultimate key to getting closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. All other methodologies seem like they get you closer to Allah, but they never will. Okay, we have the key to get close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why try something else when you have the key? Allah told you, the key is salah, the key is sujood. That's the only way you get closer to me. And then, يعني, let's talk about closeness, al-qurb. One of Allah's beautiful names is al-qarib. وَإِذَا سَأَلَكَ عِبَادِي عَنِّي فَإِنِّي قَرِيبٌ. What are the benefits of this name, يعني? Yeah, it's reassuring. And Allah's... And sometimes you, like, children think that Allah is far away up in the heavens, and but we need to remind them and ourselves and Allah is وَنَحْنُ أَقْرَبُ إِلَيْهِ مِنْ حَبْلِ الْوَرِيدِ. Allah is closer to us than حَبْلِ الْوَرِيدِ, which is this jugular vein, meaning He's very, very, very close to us, especially when you're going through loneliness, when you feel like nobody's with you. Allah is saying, I am near. And the other term for this in the Quran is al-ma'iyyah. Ma'iyyat Allah. Allah is with us. Inna Allah ma'a as-sabirin. For this ma'iyyah is very special. When Musa alayhi salam was facing the sea, وَرَا كَانَوْا الْجُنُودْ فِرْعَوْنِ, his people gave up. But what did he say? Physically or logically, مَا فِي أَمَلْ, خلاص, it's game over. بس شنو قال موسى عليه السلام؟ قال statement, anyone recalls what it was? It starts with كَلَّا إِنَّ مَعِيَ رَبِّي سَيَهْدِينَ. Kalla, meaning stop this thinking that you have, it's wrong. No. Inna ma'iyya. Notice, what did Musa internalize fully? Ma'iyyat Allah. He knew that Allah is with him. In that moment, when the soldiers and the army was, يعني خلاص, they're overtaking, يعني, the enemy is overtaking you. In that moment, Musa alayhi salam realize internally, inna tara, Allah is with me. If Allah is with me, I have nothing to worry about. Inna ma'iya, inna adat, يعني tawkeed. For sure, for sure, for sure, Allah is with me. Inna ma'iya, Rabbi, and Rabb is like the loving, caring master. So if you internalize that in your life, there's nothing to worry about. You become fearless of this world. طبعاً. 100%. Inna ma'iya Rabbi sayahdeen. And again, seen hini bad. It's like sawfa yahdeen, but sayahdeen, like very soon, very quickly. He will guide me. When you feel confused, when you feel lost, He will guide you. والاسماعية, this قرب is very very special and it's a very integral part of our deen, is we seek to get closer to Allah. In New Age spirituality, they talk about union with God. إحنا طبعا بالنسبة لنا هذه statement of كفر and شرك يعني, because Allah is inseparable. We cannot unite with Allah. Allah is the Rabb, you are the Abd. And so what we can pursue is closeness to Him, القرب من Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the way to get closer to Him is through purification. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, one of His names is Al-Quddus, the source of all purity, the most pure, the most sacred. And so for us to get closer to Him, all we need to do is to purify ourselves, purify our hearts, purify our intentions. And that's a project for life. The project of getting close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That should be all of our focus in life. يعني ما حد فينا should be like, oh, والله, I don't know what to do with my life, I'm confused. لا, احنا المسلم ترى is never confused. We have a clear goal. Our goal is to get close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How? There's many ways, there are many methodologies, in whatever capacity you can, get close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But that is the goal every day. So your intention is, whatever you do, you go to work to get close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You want to get married, why? To get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You choose a spouse who will get you closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You start a business to get you closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You learn a new skill to get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Your parenting, it's about getting closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's about getting them closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why are we here today? To get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There's no other, يعني, muffy worldly gain from this gathering. So it comes down to al-qurb. Wasjud waqtarib. And another meaning here is that you cannot get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with arrogance. It's got to come from the door of humility and humbleness. Tawadu, knowing your place. And يعني, just to connect the beginning of the surah to the end, اقرأ was the beginning, صح? Allah is inviting us to knowledge, to gain علم. But now what we're learning is that Allah taught us the ultimate knowledge that Allah gave us through the Quran, through the teaching of the Prophet ﷺ, is how to get close to Him. But it's really beautiful, يعني. It's like a, kind of like a love story between you and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and your goal is to learn how to get closer to Him, and the closer you get to Him, the more you love Him, and the more this relationship becomes closer and closer and closer. And your entire life you're waiting to get even closer to Him in Jannah, صح? And the highest pleasure in Jannah will be to see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it is really like a love story. Then you long to see the one who you love. You long to be with the one who you love. And salah is a means for us to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to have that intimate meeting or setting. فكلا لا تطعه واسجد واقترب. Like I said, people come up with innovative ways of getting closer to Allah, but the only way is through sujood. The only way is through the manhaj of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. The final method. And I gave this example previously, I'll give it again. It's kind of like a software update on your phone. Previous religions came with a methodology to get close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yes, absolutely. Isa alayhi salam came and taught his people the methodology of getting close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then that message got corrupted. And then Musa alayhi salam, then Isa alayhi salam. and all the prophets before him, 124,000 prophets previously came. Why? To teach people how to get close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And with every messenger and prophet comes a new update, and a new update, a new update, a new update. And the final software update, after which there is no update, is the message of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the Quran. And that is the miracle of it. And khalas, after this you don't need any update. The Quran and the teaching of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam are enough for humanity till the end of time. You don't need any more updates. But it's like the ultimate update. Yes.
Other previous religions before Islam, were they waiting for an update, or did they know there will be an update?
Yes.
Or did they live the same way we're living today, knowing there is no more update?
Yeah. Very good question. So there was tanabbu'at of a final prophet coming.
So they
all knew it, yes. Allah says, يَعْرِفُونَهُ كَمَا يَعْرِفُونَ أَبْنَاءَهُمْ. They knew the Prophet ﷺ like they know their own children. Because he was mentioned, there were signs of him in the Torah, in the Injil, all over. Yes.
And this is why they were very rejected.
Yes. And we'll look at the example today of one of the top Christian scholars in Mecca. Khadija's cousin, we'll talk about it, inshallah, when we get there, of how he recognized him. Because he was well read and well versed in the books of Torah and Injil. But hatta Yahud, like you said, them being stationed in Medina, why were they stationed in Medina? There were three main tribes of Yahud: Banu Qurayza, Banu Qaynuqa, and a third one. Why were they stationed in Medina? Waiting for the final prophet. Yes, it's a transition into it. Yes, yes, exactly. It's a yes, yes. It's just that message was corrupted. It's no longer خلاص مو compatible مع جهازنا. It no longer serves the purpose, right? So why would you? None of us runs on the software of like 10 years ago, صح? Of does anyone iPhone 1? Yeah, like does anyone have the first version? Your phone will not work on it today. صح ولا لا؟ ما يشتغل. That's the closest example to this. It's you need to update if you want to connect. There's the command at the beginning, اقرأ, and then اقترب. اقرأ, اقترب. It ends with a command, it began with a command. It's really beautiful how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks in the Quran, you know. And كأن Allah is reminding us what our intention should be when we pursue knowledge. Then there is knowledge that can take you away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. صح ولا لا؟ But our intention should be learn to get closer to Allah. And then of course from the surah we're learning about the importance of salah, sujood, and the connection between iqra, worldly knowledge, and then sujood, which is knowledge of your spiritual reality and your relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, both hand in hand. And we'll talk about that today also. The balance of knowledge of dunya and knowledge of akhirah together. We need both. Yani, unfortunately, we live in a world where you have extremes. صح? You have so-called religious people who are not that aware of the dunya, right? And they're not really excelling in this world. And then you have people who are excelling in this dunya, but no clue about the deen. So why can't we have both, يعني? ليش لا? So we'll talk about it today, inshallah. Yeah, and then some just reminders before we begin today's session, because today we're going to talk about what happened after revelation, what happened after Ghar Hira. ف just some pointers here. We often talk about our need to love Allah, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We always think about the fact that we لازم احنا نحبه. But did you ever think about the other side of it? How much he loves you? You know? And why did he go through everything he went through, Aslan? For who?
For us.
Exactly. Yeah. We wouldn't have the message today if it wasn't for his sacrifices, for his blood, for his sweat, for all his efforts, for all his struggles. The 23 years of struggle was for us. For that in itself, hatta makes you feel like you belong to him, makes you feel like you owe something to him. Yani, he went through so much for you to give you everything in a gold plate, صح? So easy it came to you, but how much struggle he had to go through. But for us to reject those teachings and those priceless this priceless way of life is yani shway aib, you know? After everything he went through, you just discard it and you ignore it. And he's also like, there's an ayah in Surah Al-Ahzab, I want to share it with you. النَّبِيُّ أَوْلَى بِالْمُؤْمِنِينَ مِنْ أَنفُسِهِمْ وَأَزْوَاجُهُ أُمَّهَاتُهُمْ. So second part of this statement is وَأَزْوَاجُهُ أُمَّهَاتُهُمْ. So the wives of the Prophet ﷺ are our what? Mothers, which means he is what? Our father. So there's like this father figure. And all of us, I'm sure there's no doubt, all of you love your fathers to death. صح ولا لا? Have you ever thought about loving the Prophet ﷺ like or more than you love your father, your own father? Having that relationship with him? It's just inviting you to think of other ways to relate to the Prophet ﷺ. Because we think of him as a prophet, وخلاص لا بس that's too formal يعني رسول مثل ما قلنا مع الصحابة he used to call his companions his friends literally أصحابي he never said my followers فالنبي أولى بالمؤمنين من أنفسهم literally what this means in simple English the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم cares about us more than we care about ourselves similar to what parents have as a relationship with their children, صح? Sometimes the child is careless, بس, and parents care about the child more than the child cares about themselves. صح? For the parents, they will know what I'm talking about. But it's very, very similar. Because the Prophet knows things that we don't know. He sees things that we don't see. And therefore, it hurts. It was hurting him when people weren't following, when people weren't accepting the message. And he sees the unseen reality of the consequences of their choice. But Allah would say in the Quran, فَلَعَلَّكَ بَاخِعٌ نَفْسَكَ عَلَىٰ آثَارِهِمْ إِن لَمْ يُؤْمِنُوا بِهَذَا الْحَدِيثِ أَسَفًا. بَاخِعٌ نَفْسَكَ يعني كأن Allah is telling him, why are you you're so upset, why are you so why are you destroying yourself because of the fact that they're not following your message? Don't be so hard on yourself. And that's how seriously the Prophet ﷺ would take it. So after the revelation, awwal shay, the Prophet ﷺ went to who? His wife Khadija. Also, يعني هاي بروحها يبي لها يعني reflection, you know. And he didn't go to his best friend. He didn't go to the leader of Quraysh. He didn't go to a therapist. He had it was a traumatic experience, being hugged painfully by an unknown creature, who was telling you to read three times. Yani, where would you go if you had that experience? Yeah, كل واحد فينا has an escape, right? Every one of us has an escape to somewhere. Some might go to the bar to forget that experience. مثلا. Some might يعني prefer to hide it and not share it with anyone. But he went to his wife. But what are we learning here about the relationship between Khadija and the Prophet ﷺ? Extremely close, extremely open communication, and it also highlights for us the importance of this relationship between a husband and a wife, where she plays the role of the support for the husband in times of distress and difficulty. It's strange, صح? If you try to relate it to nowadays, يعني, we often, يعني, there's this idea of يعني, the husband being a macho guy and يعني, doesn't need help from his wife. He won't go يعني, and cry on his wife's shoulders and her arms. كأنه عيب for a man to expose his weaknesses to his wife. صح ولا لا?
They filter
their feelings. Exactly. But for him, he was very open, completely vulnerable, and he knew that. But that was the beauty of this relationship. So much lessons there for us. Those of you who are married, what kind of relationship to pursue and to work on, and those of you who are not married, what kind of spouse to, inshallah, look for. So this is the extract from the hadith. Okay. فَرَجَعَ بِهَا رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ تَرْجُفُ بِوَادِرُهُ. He was shivering. It wasn't cold, but he was shivering, sweating. حَتَّى دَخَلَ عَلَىٰ خَدِيجَ فَقَالَ. He entered and he said, زَمِّلُونِي زَمِّلُونِي. Those are the first words that come out. What does it mean? Wrap me up. He was feeling extremely cold. Okay. فَزَمَّلُوهُ حَتَّى ذَهَبَ عَنْهُ الرَّوْعِ. So he calmed down a bit. And then he said to Khadija, أي خَدِيجَ مَالِي لَقَدْ خَشِيتُ عَلَى نَفْسِي. So clearly there is this worry, right? He's a bit afraid of that experience. كان شيء خرع. Remember, we said it's on top of a mountain, dark, it's a night, right? إِنَّا أَنزَلْنَاهُ فِي لَيْلَةِ الْقَدْرِ. So it's a night time. A strange creature comes up. So he's scared and he's asking her, what just happened to me? I'm scared, I'm worried. لَقَدْ خَشِيتُ عَلَى نَفْسِي. And then فأخبرها الخبر, and he narrated to her the entire experience. And now it's very important how the wife, how Khadija radiallahu anha responded to him, and the way she responded to him. This, and you can write a book literally on this part of Sira alone. I'm not kidding. Books can be written about this. فقالت خديجة كلا أبشر. Number one, don't be afraid. He said, لَقَدْ خَشِيتُ عَلَى نَفْسِي. She said, كَلَّا, don't. Whenever كَلَّا comes, it's like, يعني, stop that thinking, it's wrong. Don't think like that. كَلَّا. أَبْشِرْ. So she's changing his mindset from negative to positive. So this is good news. I'm afraid, I'm worried. على نفسي. I'm worried of what's going to happen to me. Today was a hug. Tomorrow it could be something else. But he was scared. خشية is a form of being overwhelmed in awe of an experience. But she's telling him, this is good news. فَوَاللَّهِ. And then notice the choice of words. وَاللَّهِ. She swears. So he pays attention. And to make this statement very powerful. لَا يُخْزِيكَ اللَّهُ أَبَدًا. Allah will never ever let you down. Allah will never disgrace you. Al-khizi is like disgrace. For a wife to say that to a husband, and for the husband to hear that, is very empowering. Especially in the low points of his life. Yes. Yes, yes. Yeah.
So how did it come about? Was it always there?
So, يعني, like we said, they did have this general universal belief in Allah. وَلَئِنْ سَأَلْتَهُمْ مَنْ خَلَقَ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ لَيَقُولُونَ اللَّهِ. So they believed in Allah. Yeah. But the shirk was the issue there. لَا يُخْزِيكَ اللَّهُ أَبَدًا. Allah will never, ever, ever disgrace you. He will never let you down. فَوَاللَّهِ, again, she swears. And then she gives evidence for why Allah will never disgrace him. These are the reasons why you will never be disgraced. فَوَاللَّهِ إِنَّكَ لَأْتَصِلُ الرَّحَمِ. You maintain the ties of kinship, family ties, family bonds. You don't cut. عَكْسْ صِلَةُ الرَّحَمِ شُنُو؟ قَطْعَ الرَّحَمِ. صح؟ Which is, يعني, مشكلة. Number two, وتصدق الحديث, and you say the truth. When you speak the truth. وتحمل الكل, which means you help the distressed. You carry the burdens of those who are in need. وتكسب المعدوم, and the one who is needy of something, you give them and you provide for them. وتقري الضيف, and you honor the guests. وتعين على نوائب الحق, and then you pursue the truth basically. How many evidences should she give? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. 6 statements that summarize to you who the Prophet ﷺ was prior to prophethood, and how his wife saw him, and what kind of qualities she saw in him. Like we said, it's very easy to impress strangers and people in the outside world, but for your wife to give a testimony of you like that, it's a big thing. And what else do we notice here? We notice in they're all related to akhlaq, صح? His relationship with people. Some lessons for the wives here. So she supported him, encouraged him, comforted him when he was weak and scared. Then how else would like a wife respond to this situation? It could have turned into like blame. I told you not to go to Ghar Hira in the night. You never listened to me.
Who are you with?
Are you sure?
Or are you sure? You're probably imagining, la, ma sar shay, you know? Or, there could have been a different reaction, but in times of difficulty, the wife's support is needed. And that is the beauty of this relationship. إِنَّا خَلَقْنَاكُمْ مِنْ ذَكَرٍ What's the ayah? لِتَسْكُنُوا إِلَيْهَا. The purpose of zawaj is what? وَجَعْلَ لَكُمْ مِنْ أَنفُسِكُمْ أَزْوَاجًا لِتَسْكُنُوا إِلَيْهَا. So the purpose of marriage is for the husband to find sukoon in the wife, and for the wife to find sukoon in the husband. That's the objective of zawaj. Why? Because the outside world, there's no sukoon. So you need a home to come back to where there is sukoon. And what is sukoon? It is peace, it is solace, it's comfort. And she listened, listened to him without judgment and blame, being a good listener. Yeah. And Khadija never took like a course on being a good wife, which it was natural, you know, subhanAllah. And like how, yeah, it's amazing how she, this came out naturally in her, and this shows you the divine taqdeer of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that the Prophet would marry her. صح ولا لا? يعني, it was all planned. This is all part of the grand plan. And the wahi will come. or the Prophet would marry this woman who was widowed twice, and she's older than him by like 15 years or something. The Prophet's 25, she's 40, and he literally worked for her. She's apparently more wealthier than him. And then one day will come where he will need her support. It is all part of the plan of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
It's funny. It shows you how our society norms are young. They're non-existent.
Exactly.
Feel
yeah.
a flat and see what
they do. For being a good listener, then if the wife is not a good listener, the husband will find someone else who's a good listener. يعني. You know? And she was بعد هاي النقطة مهمة. She was involved. She knew that تركاني روح غار حراء, and he was interested in this whatever he was doing, التحنث, which is kind of like a meditation reflection of purpose of life. She knew his background, his interest. There was open she wasn't surprised all of a sudden, like يعني in a, she
so
might.
Yeah.
But there was this journey that she was going through, and she was part of that journey. She didn't let. Yani often, sometimes what happens is like husbands and wives start on the same path, but then one or the other they start going on another path. Maybe it's not the same path as the husband, مثلا, or the wife. But the fact that the one spouse is going on another track and the other is not doesn't mean there has to be problems. يعني. You can always understand what the other is going through and just listen. And مو لازم يكون في clash. يعني. But pretty amazing lessons for wives, yes?
Yeah.
And for husbands also. What's the lesson here for husbands?
To tell the truth.
To tell the truth. Don't hide. Be open.
Involved.
Yeah, yani it's. I think it works both ways, you know. And she praises akhlaq, not his ibadah, right? Because of course there was no ibadah back then. But yani the idea was there was emphasis more on his relationship with society. He would maintain the ties of kinship. Would say the truth. Would help the needy. Would take care of the guests. فكلها أخلاق يعني. Or values that are shared by humanity, you know? So what she's saying to him is, Natara, you do so much good, how can Allah disgrace you after all this? But there's another lesson here, and يعني, we need to believe in doing good. You know, sometimes yeah, there's this notion that if you do good, tara, you'll be left behind. You'll struggle in life. Tara, you have to sometimes cut corners. You have to do things the wrong way to. لأن الدنيا ماشية كذي. Right? Like in the business world, for example, a lot of my friends, just yesterday we were hanging out and they were saying how to get business deals, you have to give bribes, you have to يعني do things unethically, للأسف, that's the way the system is. If you don't, then you won't get the deal. If you don't cheat, you won't pass. If you, يعني, you know that kind of mentality. But again, that system B way of thinking. And ma'ale, I'll compromise on my values because I gotta, it is what it is, and we gotta do what we gotta do. But the system A way of thinking is, no, I do good, and I believe with certainty, with yaqeen, that this will bear fruits. And maybe those fruits are not tangible, they're not physical. Yani. Maybe you won't see the fruits for dunya. Yani. But you stick to your values, even when everyone else is not. And then there's a beautiful hadith of the Prophet ﷺ, صَنَائِعُ الْمَعْرُوفِ, meaning good do deeds that you do, تَقِي مَصَارَعُ السُّءِ, they save you from the tough times. وَصَدَقَةُ السِّرِّ تُطْفِئُ الْغَضَبُ, غَضَبُ الرَّبِّ, giving charity in secret, وصلة الرحم تزيد في العمر. So if you want to live long, maintain the ties, your kinship ties, and visit your siblings, your parents, your cousins, your relatives. Very, very important. And especially in the busy lives that we have, so we don't have time to maintain ties of kinship also. صح? Moving on. What happens, let's assume it's the next day or like a few days later, right? Again, Khadija's taking the main lead here. She's gonna now take him to her cousin Waraqa. Why? Because he's a very smart, intelligent, religious person who has read the Torah, the Injil. He's one of the few, maybe the only Christian in Mecca. Okay? Again, that's the fact that she's taking him somewhere out, is she's being proactive. It's also shows you in here, what kind of a personality she was.
Strong.
Yeah, because fine, ساعات الزوج سمع من زوجة, but sometimes you need confirmation from like an independent source, right? And so, and from a credible source like Waraqa. And it's beautiful, his name, Tara Waraqa, من الورق, literally, because he was into books and studies. And they say that he studied for 40 years and lost his eyesight. من كثر ما كان يقرأ. So Waraqa, يقرأ, قراءة, So what did Waraqa respond to the Prophet ﷺ? He said to him, هذا الناموس الذي أنزل على موسى. This experience that you've had, because of course the Prophet narrated to him what happened. He said, this is exactly the same creature that visited Musa alayhi salam, meaning Jibreel alayhi salam, because the tradition is always that Jibreel alayhi salam would reveal to the prophets, even Musa alayhi salam, Isa alayhi salam, all the prophets. But he recognized in that it's the same, this is the same, this is Jibreel. هذا الناموس الذي, that's the term that they used. Honestly, we have to look up the linguistics of it. I haven't really looked at it. Anyone? Shouldn't ma'anat namus?
Doesn't namus ma'anat boos? What ma'anat is? He boos, and then you
win something. The one who grants you victory. Sah. That's, it's probably the first one.
I have a question.
Covering the entire horizon, basically. Few descriptions for the hadith in much detail, but the next slide we'll come to what he looks like, inshallah, a bit.
I think Kami took this, by the way. I remember that in this part.
Yes. Yes.
The hadith part where she took
him to Waraqa. Yeah. Yeah. Just to kind of refresh, Lena, we're getting into now post revelation. فليتني فيها جذعًا. He says, I wish I was younger. Then he's 90 years old now. Why? He said, لَيْتَنِي أَكُونُ حَيًّا. He knows that he's dying soon and he's weak, because he wanted to be a part of this exciting journey with him. فقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم, أَوَ مُخْرِجِيَّهُمْ. He says, are they going to kick me out of this place? مكة قال ورقة نعم لم يأتي رجل بما جئت به إلا أوذيا وإن يدركني يومك حيا أنصرك نصرا مؤزرا ثم لم ينشب ورقة أن توفي وفتر الوحي فترة حتى حزن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. So ورقة gave him very important information. Number one, he confirmed that he's a prophet. And then this is the same Jibreel. فحين خديجة رضي الله عنها consoled him and that Allah will never let you down. Now he has confirmation from a scholar, one of the top scholars in their city, and that this, and خلاص, you are a prophet. You are the, you are the one everyone's been waiting for. And he tells, but then at the same time, it's good news, but also the other side of the coin is, ترى tough times are going to start coming now. You're going to be kicked out. And notice how يعني, the innocence of the Prophet said, أَوَ مُخْرِجِيَّهُمْ. Are they going to kick me out? My own family is going to kick me out of all the people? But يعني, it's كأنه he finds it difficult to believe. And what was his title, أصلاً, قبل ما يكون Prophet? الصادق الأمين. He was very well respected in the society. And he comes from a noble family, Banu Hashim. You'd expect in the, يعني, when someone from a noble family gets chosen to be the final prophet, يصير في celebration واحتفالات in Mecca, and yay, the final prophet came and he's from among us. Right? So he's shocked and يعني, they're going to kick me out. And so Waraqa, because he's so learned and learned in the books and in the يعني, previous scriptures, he knows that this is sunnatullah, and whenever a prophet comes, the people resist the message and they become enemies of the message, and then they hurt. يعني, أوذيه, إلا أوذيه, you will be hurt, you will be harmed. There's danger coming your way. يعني. But it was nice of Waraqa to give him a heads up. صح? To be prepared for that. يعني. And he said that, like, if I was to live, I would give you victory.
It means, by the way, namus means sharia.
Ah, mashallah. Okay, nice.
Means what?
Sharia or qanun also. Nice. So he's the deliverer, because he's the messenger of the sharia. So maybe they call him namus in that sense. So the Waraqa ibn Nawfal, he passes away a few days later after that, and the wahi stops for some time, and the Prophet is very sad because it stopped. But يعني, another very beautiful thing about this story is tadbir Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, and how this man had to study for 90 years to wait for the moment where he'd have this brief meeting with the final Prophet to give him this few sentences, and that was his role in his life. His entire life was for that last moment of just this meeting. يعني. All those books, losing his eyesight, 40 years of knowledge, just so that he could meet the Prophet ﷺ, and the fact that the Prophet married his cousin, يعني, Khadija, you know, so يعني, Allah's plans are incredible, you know. Yes.
Was the Prophet, before he was Prophet, aware of the stories of Nabi Musa, etc.?
Not much. He didn't have access to.
But Waraqa was.
Yes, Waraqa was extremely. Then he can, يعني, very well versed in the Torah and the Injil. Yeah, very familiar with. شنو الآية في نهاية سورة الكهف؟ قل لو كان البحر قبل أن تنفذ كلمات ربي ولو جئنا بمثله مددا. One of the beautiful lessons behind this ayah is, يعني, the example being given here is, if the ocean was ink and you were to write down كلمات ربي, one of the meaning of كلمات is like the plan of Allah, basically. If you were to write down the plan of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the hikmah behind Allah's plan, and if you were to turn the entire oceans into ink, they will not be enough for you to finish writing down the beauty and the hikmah of Allah's plan. That's how much hikmah and beauty and love. Yeah. It will run dry. Did you guys get this? That's profound, yeah. Allah has hikmah in everything He does, okay? But if we were to start writing down the hikmah of Allah's master plan of life, and you had like this, what do they call it? They used to use the ink, right? So if you started writing down, and you had the entire ocean, of the, this world as ink for you to keep writing. The ocean's ink would finish, meaning you'd have written so much and it would still not be enough for you to compile the full beauty and hikmah of Allah's wisdom and His plan. This yani relates a lot to what's happening also yani in the Middle East today. A lot of people are confused, they're in disbelief, how can this happen? But we sometimes have to zoom out and say, Tara, listen, this is still Allah's plan. Whatever is happening, it's awful, it's terrible, but nothing can happen without Allah's permission. صح ولا لا? And so this is part of the plan. And when you zoom in, it's terrible, but when you zoom out, there is hikmah, there is beauty, there is love, there is rahmah in this. We may not understand it, but we need to believe it. You know, we need to have yaqeen in it. For Allah used him, that knowledge he had, Allah used him for that meeting with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And again, connecting this to our life, right? What will Allah use us for? Right? Every single one of us needs to ask ourselves that question. Whatever your age is now, all these years of accumulation of knowledge, skills, talent, how can Allah use you? Right? And if that's a nice dua to make. Ya Allah, use me for your deen. استخدم لي لهذا الدين. I'm available. I'm like, I want, hire me, literally. You want to work for Allah. And if you're sincere, Allah will hire you and He will use you. In whatever way that suits your profile, you know. But it's that willingness to be hired, you know. And by the way, one of the criticisms that Quraysh would give on the Prophet ﷺ, it's cold, right?
It's so cold.
Yeah. And when you turn it off, it's like hot. And then maktab nafs al-shay tibi, mu'ana. But one of the common criticisms that the Prophet ﷺ would get in Mecca. No, it's okay. When the Prophet ﷺ later on in Seerah, he would recite the Quran and he would speak this strange language. One of the criticisms that came up was that he has a secret teacher who's teaching him all these things. That's why he's coming up with all these stories and stuff. He must have a secret teacher that he's meeting secretly and then he's coming and reciting these ayat. But some doubtful people came up with that justification, and these can't be his words. He's learning these from a secret teacher, who most probably would have been Waraqa had he been alive. So part of Allah's destiny is also in that he dies, and so that doubt is removed. You guys see this? Yeah. And by the way, notice how Waraqa explains his intention, and he says that I wish I was alive to be with you, right? وَإِن يُدْرِكْنِي يَوْمُكَ يَحَيَّنْ أَنصُرُكَ نَصْرًا مُؤَزَّرًا. Like, he actually believed in the Prophet ﷺ, and he affirmed his allegiance and loyalty to him, being a Christian scholar. But you see, when pure Christian scholars come across the truth, what suhula they transition into it, because it makes sense. Similar to later on we'll see Najashi, same thing. He's very well read he's a Christian, he's well read in Torah and Injil, and then when he listens to the Quran, he starts crying again. So two personalities that were Christian and they died during the life of the Prophet ﷺ were Waraqa and Najashi. The ulama say that they will be, inshallah, among the believers, لأن they believed and they expressed their loyalty. Although he didn't say the Shahada, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, you know, but earlier on, he believed. Technically, Waraqa is one of the first believers. Like maybe Khadija is the first believer ever. Awal Muslima Imra'a awalan. This is honor to the women. What an honor, صح? The first person to accept Islam was a woman. And number two, the second person, technically, according to Sirah, is a Christian scholar. عجيب, no? يعني. And the Quran highlights this, that يعني, we are very close to the Christians in terms of Mawadda, and you know, there's a lot in common, and it's very easy to transition from Christianity to Islam. Because he was the closer prophet, right? Musa's farther behind. And of course, أَوَ مُخْرِجِيَهُمْ, like the prophet expresses here how he's disappointed or upset that he's going to have to leave his beloved city, Mecca, you know? So he has this attachment to his country, which we're learning also is not bad. يعني, it's actually something beautiful for you to have loyalty to your country. A lot of people think that Islam is anti-nationalism and that you're not supposed to have nationalism and love for your country. You're a Muslim and we don't believe in borders. No, that's not correct. Blacks, your role as a citizen of a country, this is an act of ibadah. For you to respect the laws of the country, for you to respect the norms of that society, and to blend in and to contribute to your country and to contribute to society to make it a better country. This is part of our deen also, part of loyalty. And treason is, it's ugly, it's not Islam. But he was disappointed that he has to leave his place. And Muhammad ﷺ once said of Waraqa, do not slander Waraqa ibn Nawfal, for I have seen that he will have one or two gardens in paradise. But this is a testification in that he is min Ahlul Jannah. And once Khadija told Muhammad ﷺ, he believed in you, but he died before your advent and before he announced his prophet. Remember, the Prophet ﷺ, لِحِمْ مَا طَلَعُوا أَعْلَنْ, and he didn't start inviting people to this message. The Prophet ﷺ said that I saw him in a dream, and upon him were white garments. So that's another confirmation in that he's from the Jannah, from Ahl Jannah, inshallah. Another lesson here regarding being harmed. لم يأتي رجل بما جئت به إلا أوذي. The path of prophets is filled with struggle, with difficulties, with challenges, with obstacles. Because it's a fight between truth and falsehood. It's a fight between system A and system B. There's bound to be clash, because system B will not, يعني بخسرون, you know, there's a lot to lose. Whether it's power, whether it's status, whether it's money, whether it's following, influence, and we see that happening with Quraysh. We will see it. But it's strange, صح? And the truth is so beautiful. And it makes sense. But, يعني, هاي نظام الله سبحانه وتعالى, and that there are always going to be forces of evil that will resist truth. And we need to pick the right side. And if you stick to the truth, then there's bound to be struggle, and it requires patience, requires thabat. But we're seeing this also with what's going on in the region, صح? People who are on the truth, they struggle. There's a lot of sacrifice. There's a lot of patience that's required. Not easy. كلش مبسهل يعني. حتى سورة العصر, which ulama say it's a summary of the entire Quran. والعصر إن الإنسان لفي خسر. إِلَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَامِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ وَتَوَاصَوْا بِالْحَقِّ وَتَوَاصَوْا بِالصَّبْرِ. Why did it end with sabr? It's because when you're on the haqq, sabr is a necessity. And you're going to have difficulty, and you will require thabat. شنو ثبات يعني؟ Yeah, steadfastness, standing your ground, not being shaken, not being, not giving up, basically. And that's why we keep reciting اهدنا الصراط المستقيم, اهدنا الصراط المستقيم 17 times every day if you're praying 5 times a day. Why? That's our sense of focus, right? قل آمنت بالله ثم استقم. يعني maintain that, maintain yourself on that path. اثبتوا على يعني الصراط, you know. Don't get distracted. Allah says in the Quran, in Surah Muhammad, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا إِن تَنْصُرُوا اللَّهَ يَنْصُرْكُمْ وَيُثَبِّتْ أَقْدَامَكُمْ. What's the opposite of thabat? عكس الثبات. When you get shaken, when you... يمكن انحراف, يمكن sense of giving up, or الثبات بلا bravery, صح؟ فalways make دعاء that Allah يثبتكم على هذا الدين. The Prophet would make dua. That's a hadith. Really? No. Okay. One dua that the Prophet would make: Ya مقلب القلوب ثبت قلبي على دينك. Yeah, so because the qalb keeps turning, so ثبت قلبي على دينك. And notice the formula: يا أيها الذين آمنوا إن تنصروا الله ينصركم ويثبت أقدامكم. To look at that, yani, what it means. Again, I prefer not to get into that. Let's stay on track here. Yeah, exactly. Ya الذين آمنوا إن تنصروا الله ينصركم ويثبت أقدامكم. Okay, so this is the formula, right? Nasr is victory. The disciples of Isa alayhi salam were known as Ansar, right? And we learn in Sira the Sahaba were two groups. There was the Muhajirin and there was the Ansar. The Muhajirin migrated from Mecca to Medina, and then those believers in Medina who hosted the Prophet ﷺ and the Muhajirin were known as Al-Ansar. Okay. We all want victory. Okay. So Allah's saying is, you want victory, first you give victory to me. Now how do we give victory to Allah? In tansurullah, it's like a formula. You give nasr to Allah, you give victory to Allah, Allah will give you victory and He will give you steadfastness on the path. One of the meanings here is just to hold on to the deen of Allah and to practice this deen. That's the way you do nasra of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yani, I was having this conversation with my children also about how, like, the big question everyone has is, how can we help our brothers and sisters in Palestine? Of course, you have charity, you have dua, and through media and all of that, awareness, yeah. But one of the most powerful ways is for us to work on our own deen and our own path to closeness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, our own focusing on our own obligations, focusing on ourselves. إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُغَيْرُ مَا بِقَوْمٍ حَتَّى يُغَيْرُ مَا بِأَنفُسِهِمْ. But sometimes we seek change from the outside, right? Because it's very difficult to look in the mirror and to work on yourself. And sometimes, a simple example is في العبادة نفسها, you'd have people, for example, going out and protesting and being active on social media, doing so much for the cause. But then the next day, they're not waking up for Fajr, The masajid are empty. Hatta one of my teachers, he said something really beautiful, stuck with me. He said that you will know when Palestine will be freed. And there is a measure to know when Palestine will be freed from oppression. And there is a measure for it. The measure is when the masajid are full in Salat al-Fajr, in Jama'ah. But why? Think about it. Why is that so true? Ishma'na Salat al-Fajr with that?
It's the hardest period.
Yeah, it's the hardest. The other prayers, في ناس تروح والعشاء, there's a lot of people that go, but Fajr prayers are like you barely have one row, two rows. That's the measure, according to a lot of scholars, the measure of your iman is based on your Salat al-Fajr. You want to know how high your iman is, ask yourself how many times you woke up for Fajr in the last week. Out of seven, how many did you knock out? How many were you able to make? How many were you not able to make? And that's like your score, iman score, literally. Now, that's on a personal level. Now, scale it to the entire ummah, right? So you have all this activism and dua and all that, but in reality, how many are doing Nasr of Allah in their, just something basic like Salat al-Fajr, And Salat al-Fajr it requires jihadun nafs, right? Because sleep is, I love sleeping. It's not, I'm sure everyone does, but as you get older, you love sleep more. حتى الصحابة would say this. They would, after coming back from a battle, they would say, رجعنا من الجهاد الأصغر إلى الجهاد الأكبر. They just finished the battle. They're saying, we just got done with a small jihad. We're coming back home to the jihad al-akbar, which is what? Jihad al-nafs, right? Jihad of your striving against your nafs, working on your tazkiyat al-nafs, the desires of the nafs to sleep and laziness and all sorts of addictions and bad habits. In تَنْصُرُ اللَّهِ is when we work on our own, we correct our own practices and relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then when that in your home, that changes, then society changes, and then the scales will tip. There's no shortcut to it. So أَقْصَى is the thermometer for the ummah in terms of the iman of the ummah. So if Aqsa is not in it's not in the hands of the believers, the iman of the ummah is weak. And the biggest example of this is do you guys know when Aqsa came to the Muslims after the Prophet's message? During Umar ibn al-Khattab's time. Do you know how it happened? He literally walked to Palestine, and when he reached, they handed over the keys to him. And by that time, the إِن تَنْصُرُ اللَّهَ had happened. the iman was at a very high level, فخلاص. There was no bloodshed, no wars, nothing. Very peacefully just handed over the keys. This is historically recorded, yeah. It's incredible. وحتى when he reached, subhanAllah, it's a side tangent, but like, he was with his servant, okay? Umar ibn Khattab was with his servant, and there was one camel or something that they were using for as a means of transportation. But they would take turns. Notice the humility again, huh? Humility. Wasjud waqtarib, like the humility of the Khalifa of the Muslims at that time. He's the Khalifa, okay? The leader of all the Muslims, going by foot to Palestine with a servant, and they're taking turns. And now, like, when they take turns, it's fair game, right? So, مثلا, 1 hour Umar ibn Khattab, 1 hour the servant. But they were exchanging their turns. And then when they reached the borders of Palestine and Aqsa, like khalas, nas natrina yusal, people can see him. It was the turn of the servant to sit on the camel. But the servant told Amir al-Mu'mineen, he said, "Ya Amir al-Mu'mineen, عيب ترى يعني خلاص, we reached. It's okay. You sit. Then فيها هيبة وكذي prestige." He said, "No. It's your turn. Your turn." So they enter the city, and everyone thinks the servant is Umar ibn Khattab. Can you imagine this? This was the level of justice and humility that was a result of the tarbiyah of the Prophet ﷺ. Yeah. No protocol, nothing. What? That's when you have people like that, that's where Nasr comes. And they just handed over the keys to him. Khalas, it's a formula, it worked. But it takes generations of tarbiyah on that kind of iman and that kind of character. And the by the way, Rasulullah ﷺ, much of Fath Palestine wal Quds, he didn't see it in his lifetime. But for him, he did his part, صح? Adil? He didn't see it, but he planted the seeds in the Sahaba. But خلاص, they were on autopilot going forward. The job was being done. فحتى for us, like, we don't need to be so obsessed when Palestine will be freed. Yeah. We do our part internally, plant the seeds in your children, and in whatever capacity you can. And then خلاص, it will happen when the ummah's iman is back on track. Yeah. There's a lot of work to be done. Right? Basically. Yeah, and so that's, يعني, حتى, if you think about it, because like the Muslims have been through cycles, right? Lows and highs, like the golden years of Islam were like, تعرفون لا, golden age, 800 years where Islam was at its peak. And then you have the low again. But sometimes being in the low point is a blessing in disguise, right? Because it's an opportunity for us to do what the Sahaba did, right? In terms of struggle, and that's, yani, it's a blessing. And out of difficult times come real men, yani. Are you guys okay? Let's assume it's خلاص, that meeting with Waraqa is over. Now, so awwal shay, Khadija radhiyallahu anha gives him solace and comfort, and that Allah won't disgrace you. Don't worry, this was a good experience. Next, a scholar gives him confirmation from the earlier books, khalas, you're the Prophet. Now he needs something even more assuring, and that is Jibreel himself, Jibreel alayhi salam himself, sitting on a throne that was both in the heavens and the earth. And he tells him that you are ana Jibreel anta Rasulullah, literally khalas, yani the he's officially appointed as the messenger of God on earth, right? The final message. So he comes back home, and he's scared again. The same experience happens again. Jibreel alayhi salam was sitting on a throne in the skies, basically, yani, covering the entire horizons. That's the second time now. Out in the open. Jaffa, yeah.
Can anyone else see him?
He did come in different forms. He would come in the form of a man. So in that case, you can see him in the form of a man. But sometimes he would come in the form of a stranger, like a man that is unidentifiable. And then he also came in the form of a Sahabi named Duhya al-Kalbi, literally like one of the Sahabis. He would take on his form and shape and face, basically. Yeah, yeah.
Did anyone else see him?
No. This is specific to the Prophet ﷺ. But he would come and reveal to the Prophet ﷺ in different ways, right? One way was through his actual form. One way was through a man. Sometimes it would come as a sound, and you know, different things. No, we don't know. That's not that long. And then two surahs are revealed, two more surahs are revealed. Okay. Ya ayyuhal muzammil and Ya ayyuhal muddathir. Ulama say that these were the second and the third surahs to be revealed. First it was Iqra's initial Surah Al-Alaq, initial ayat, and then muzammil and then muddathir. Because what did he say when he was scared? He said, Zammiluni, Zammiluni. So Allah addresses him, Ya ayyuhal muzammil, O you who are wrapped in the blanket. قُمِ اللَّيْلَ إِلَّا قَلِيلًا. Wake up in the night. But this is about قِيَامُ اللَّيْل, literally. And they say in this, by the way, I forgot to mention this. When Jibreel alayhi salam told the Prophet in this meeting that you are the Prophet, what's the next thing they did? Literally, they say that Jibreel alayhi salam, with his wings, he cracked open like a spring of water, and he taught the Prophet how to make wudu, and he taught him how to pray in this meeting itself.
This is not the second.
This is the second one, yeah. So it shows you how important wudu and tahara and salah is. فيا أيها المزمل قم الليل إلا قليلا. It's a beautiful surah. Inshallah, one day we can study it all. نصفه أو انقص منه قليلا. Wake up half of the night. أو زد عليه ورتل القرآن ترتيلا. Or even wake up more than a half of the night. ورتل القرآن ترتيلا. What do you do in قيام الليل? You recite the Quran with a beautiful ترتيلا, with like a beautiful recitation. إنا سنلقي عليك قولا ثقيلا. We will surely bring down on you very heavy, heavy speech. But what is the meaning of qawlan thaqila? Heavy words, yeah, because they come with responsibility. He's now being assigned a mission, literally. A very difficult, tough mission. And then, ya ayyuhal muddathir has a similar beginning. Ya ayyuhal muddathir. Muddathir also means the one who is wrapped up. But what's the difference between the two? Go ahead, inshallah. Bye. Assalam. Awal wahda, ya ayyuhal muzammil, qum al-layl. Thani wahda, ya ayyuhal muddathir, qum fa'andhir. So both as a command to stand up, but one in the prayer of the night. And then the second one is قُمْ فَأَنذِرْ, meaning go and warn people. وَرَبَّكَ فَكَبِّرْ وَثِيَابَكَ فَطَهَّرْ وَالرُّجْزَ فَهْجُرْ وَلَا تَمْنُنْ تَسْتَكْثِرْ وَلِرَبِّكَ فَصْبِرْ.
The second one is basically to spread it.
Yeah, so the ulama say this is basically the sequence is so beautiful. It's like Allah is telling him what to do at night and then what to do during the day. His job at night is to wake up in salah, to refuel his soul and to get that level of confidence, you know. And then during the day, his job is to go out and proclaim the message and warn people. فَ In it is a lesson for us also being recipients of this book, right? And yani, of course, we're just talking about Salat al-Fajr. Now, Qiyam al-Layl is like, let's not even go there, you know, because if it comes to sleep, it's the same thing. Tahajjud is, yeah. So ulama say that, like, tara, even if you wake up like 15 minutes before Fajr and you pray two rak'ah, it's counted as Qiyam al-Layl. So it's not that bad. It's doable, yani. Don't think in Allah, it's just something that the Salihin and the Awliya Allah can do, and you know.
What if I didn't sleep?
Yeah, it's still fine. It's still fine, sure.
Oh my guru, yani, for tahajjud, you can be and you didn't sleep, but as Qiyam al-Layl, doesn't
mean no. Ideally, you'd want to wake up for it. So then you don't want to be drowsy, hatta, and you're like, it's supposed to be like a. It's supposed to be a spiritual high. And the Sahaba, they would pray all night and they would finish the Quran. Crazy things would happen, like, because for them this was ecstasy. It was like a spiritual, very very high spiritual experience, Qiyam al-Layl. And it's something that you need to try for yourself to experience.
And how do you find balance throughout the day?
Yes, so. Yeah, so again, this is science. You need to take a qaylula in between. That's the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ. A short siesta nap around between Dhuhr and Asr. So ideally, it can be as short as 20 minutes or 15 minutes or 10 minutes. But power naps do wonders. Without that, صعب كافين إشكال بتشربين, you know, you'll drain yourself out. So a power nap in your office, in your car, whatever, like 10 minutes, 15 minutes, 20 minutes, does wonders. It resets you completely. يعني. And but then, of course, you're going to have to sleep early. يعني بعد العشاء خلاص, 8, 9 o'clock, you're in bed so that you can wake up. And it's really beautiful. يعني. This, if you could have a morning ritual, morning routine, where let's say you woke up, I don't know, 15 minutes, half an hour before Fajr, and then you... Because remember, in Qiyam al-Layl, you're getting the blessings of Allah coming down from the skies. He comes down and asks us, what do we want? نقرأ Quran, we're praying, we're making dua, and then you won't miss Fajr, because you don't want to do Qiyam al-Layl and miss Fajr. Yani. Right? Fajr is the fard. And then, so you get Fajr also, all the blessings, all the barakah of the morning. You could do your exercise, whatever, do your, you know, get some good breakfast, and then go to work, and then have a qaylula during noontime, and you have the rest of the day. And then by Isha, khalas, you're in bed. But, yani, applying that routine... Yeah, Isha is pretty early, and, you know. But it's doable, tara. I know people who have this routine regularly. But it's yani, a commitment, you know? Like, the whole family needs to be on board. Bye-bye to social life in the evenings. Bye-bye to Netflix, or all of that, you know? Like, it's a major correction in your life. But it's doable. And it's yani, I think it's an amazing goal for all of us to strive for, you know?
I mean, you can go back to sleep after Fajr anyway.
Yeah, you can. Apparently, like, if you do this routine, and you, like, especially for men, if you go out and you pray in the masjid and all that, like, the energy is so high that you can't go to sleep, even if you want to. Yeah.
I mean, if you're at home and you're praying, and then...
You can, exactly, yeah. Or you read your Qur'an, you finish your juz' for the day, for example, you know? First one is Muzammil. Literally, the name of the surah is Al-Muzammil. And the second one is Al-Muddathir. And these are two names of the Prophet ﷺ. Al-Muzammil and Al-Muddathir. And both highlight him being wrapped up. But notice there's movement, there's action, qum, in both, right? Which means that yani, his role is not passive anymore. He needs to get up first. Get up and khalas, you're a messenger now. Comes with responsibility And yani, subhanAllah, when he's going to go out and warn, or is he going to face difficulty and challenges and resistance? Yeah. So he needs to go back to Qiyam al-Layl to comfort him and console him. So it's like a cycle, yani. You know? فحتى the revelation sequence is beautiful. And even in the Mus'haf, they come back to back, by the way. Muzzammil and then Muddathir. So I told you the first teachings were that wudu and salah. And Khadija learned, by the way, the Prophet sees Jibreel alayhi salam praying, and so he learns how to pray from him through seeing. And there is a hadith of the Prophet where he says, "Sallu kama ra'aytumuni usalli." So salah has been passed on to us. A lot of people are skeptical, but like Quran doesn't talk about salah in detail, how do we get to it and all of that. And hadith also is not where we get really like how the Prophet prayed. We pray the way the Prophet prayed through this idea of silsila. Generations after generations have been seeing the Prophet and the Sahaba and the companions and the Tabi'een and Tabi'a Tabi'een, and so it's been passed down to us through the silsila of literally seeing. Sallu kama ra'aytumuni, from al-ru'ya. So Khadija learns from this silsila also. So let's wrap up. What did he get? He got four things so far in terms of like a toolbox. He has a mission now, صح? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him four things. أول شيء إقرأ, knowledge, the importance of knowledge and learning, right? He gave him مزمل, something to do at night to refuel his soul. He gave him مدثر, as an go out and confront and proclaim. And then the fourth surah that comes down is Fatiha also, earlier on. So Fatiha comes down as a curriculum for the Prophet ﷺ in terms of teaching Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. This is a message for humanity. Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim. It's a message filled with compassion and mercy. Malik Yawmiddin. There is Day of Judgment. There is accountability for your actions. So that is the overall message of Surah Al-Fatiha, which is the curriculum. And that's it. He has these four, and then wahi stops for months. So what does he do? They say like 2 months, there's nothing. Now the Prophet ﷺ has to get to work, right? He has to, because he's appointed.
Sorry, what was he praying at night? Like he was praying properly.
Yeah.
From the beginning.
No, when Jibreel alayhi salam taught him how to pray.
Here, like the four things that he was doing.
Yes.
Between the 2 months, how was he praying?
Two rak'ahs in the Qiyam al-Layl, and then there was no 5 daily prayers, it was just Qiyam al-Layl.
So he was just staying up at night and then
yes, exactly, yeah. And there was no Fajr back then. There was no 5 daily prayers. Those were prescribed for Mi'raj. Yeah. Yeah. But and even then, by the way.
Then they actually do Fatiha and a short prayer and then.
Yeah, he taught him all that. Yeah. What to recite in Salah, Fatiha was there. That's why it was revealed fully. In its entirety, yeah, 7 ayat. So 2 months pass by, no wahi, nothing, and then the Prophet needs to get to work. So what does he do? He starts strategizing. What's his strategy? Is to make like a core team. Literally. Like he doesn't go out in public, al-bidayah. He starts at the core, with his closest people. So we know that Khadija, radha anha, she's on his side. Who else accepts Islam in the beginning? Do you guys know? Now Waraqah has passed away, right? So the second or the first man after Waraqah, we can say, is and by the way, he's looking for very very influential, specific people that have that can be assets for this message. They're not just any random person. يدور على الكور team, you know. So they have to have very very specialized qualities, good akhlaq, smart, intelligent.
I heard that the first like 10, they were like young.
It was a mix, yeah. Abu Bakr Siddiq, his best friend, was one of the first. Like after Khadija, it was Abu Bakr Siddiq. He was a good friend, very successful trade businessman. He had a textile business, extremely wealthy, like a multi-millionaire of his time. And he would be the financial backbone of this message. Shufa, how strategic it was. Yeah. And Abu Bakr Siddiq is known as a Siddiq. Why? Because he believed in the message when no one did. Especially when he went on the Isra al-Mi'raj, which sounds like a fairy tale, right? When he heard it, he said, if the Prophet said this is what happened, I believe. That's why he got the title of a Siddiq. And then the third one to accept Islam was a child, 10-year-old, Ali bin Abi Talib. He saw the Prophet ﷺ praying, and the Prophet ﷺ went to him and told him that, he asked him, what are you doing? He said, I'm praying. So the Prophet told him that I'm the final Prophet. Would you like to enter into this deen? And Ali bin Abi Talib, as a 10-year-old, guess what he says? Let me think about it. Literally. He thought about it. The next day, the Prophet goes to him and says, "Huh? What do you, shrayak?" Again, 10-year-old, huh? He says to him, tell me your message again. Yani, explain to me what. Pitch it to me again, literally. So the Prophet explains to him what he's going to get into, and he accepts Islam. So this was the core team, the first four, and then inshallah next week we'll look at the others who would follow. There was a few others that, and all of these inshallah may sound like new names to you guys, but you need to get familiar with them. Even if it's like a quick Wikipedia read on each one, it'll be nice. But then just a question, yani, and I remember when my teacher like asked this question to us, it really struck strongly with me. Is like when the Prophet ﷺ was, imagine the Prophet ﷺ among us, and he was to choose the core team. Would he choose you? It's a pretty powerful question to ask, you know. And would I qualify? Do I have the qualities that would make me stand out? And that's what motivates. That should be the driving motivation for us, you know, to do good and to try to stand out and be special in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Not in front of people, just in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because that is the difference between. You know, on the Day of Judgment, fil akhirah, there's going to be three groups. Ashabu shimal, those who will be in trouble. Ashabu yameen, those who were safe. And as-sabiqoon, which is like those who were competing. Those who were the first to rush to do goodness. Always standing, the A students, kind of like, you know, if you want to give the same example. And the, yani, we should, just like in this world, we like to aim for like the highest in the dunya. We should strive to, inshallah, have a lifestyle. There's nothing wrong with being Ashab al-Yameen. But what do you think? Is it worth it to strive for Sabiqoon? What are some of the motivations to be from Sabiqoon? Why even bother? Then someone could say to Ashab al-Yameen, Jannah, Sabiqoon, Jannah, khas. I made it to Jannah, even if I'm like a C student. At least I got to Jannah, yani. But why would you strive for Sabiqoon?
There's like different levels in Jannah, right?
Yes. But Sabiqoon obviously is a higher level, right? But Jannah is Jannah, yani. But what would be the motivation for someone to do this extra stuff, this Qiyam al-Layl and reading Quran every day and studying about the deen and proclaiming it, teaching it, sharing it with others, trying to make a change, make a difference. What would be the
like your attitude, yeah.
Sorry?
I let the other job because then agenda, they even like agenda's levels.
Yes.
Based on how much you do to get into heaven, obviously. I mean, God's gonna Amalek, obviously all of this, like, you know, putting your salah at the core of everything. right? Because it's a necessity.
Yes. Exactly. Yeah.
And you, like personally, I see it very clearly in certain people who make prayer like the core of everything in their life, rather than you know, it's just like the part of a checklist.
Aye.
Because their life revolves around their prayer at times, and then prevents them from, you know, other things that
yeah.
can get in the way of
yeah.
you know, puts that order in your life.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, and you mentioned gratitude. Yeah, Aisha would ask the Prophet, why do you keep standing up in the middle of the night and praying so much until your feet are swollen? And but he would respond by saying, أَفَلَا أَكُونُ عَبْدًا شَكُورًا. Yani, he does it out of gratitude. And he's not doing it for the ajr, obviously he's the Prophet. He's not doing it for the higher levels, he's on the highest level. But he still does it. Why? Out of gratitude, out of love. And that's a differentiating factor between Ashab al-Yameen and Sabiqun. Ashab al-Yameen would do it for the ajr, maybe, in fear of the punishment, maybe. But the Sabiqun do it out of love. They do it out of seeking closeness, like we talked about it earlier, right? So your driving forces, your khas, you've ارتقيتم إلى يعني درجة أعلى. You don't. It's not about the Jannah and the saving yourself from the hellfire. It's about your purpose, meaning, finding meaning in it, and making it a priority rather than a checklist. But inshallah, with that we conclude. Subhanakallah, bihamdik, nashhadu an la ilaha illa ant, nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk.